Well, this is Dr. Stan here at, and of course, our, this is Open Line Wednesday, and all of our lines, really, except for one, are lit up now. But if you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we've got Gary calling from Union Gap, Washington, which is close to Yakima. And you're probably listening on the American Christian Network station up there, aren't you?
Yes, I am, Dr. Stan.
Oh, do you have a question or comment? Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got a question, Dr. Stan. My wife heard an advertisement on the television, and we watched it the last Tuesday and this Tuesday at 10 o'clock. It was called, it's a movie called Jericho. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I have. It's a really a fascinating program. And if you, it's something, if you start watching it, as we did last year, you almost get addicted to it.
How long has it been going?
Well, it was on last year, and then they basically canceled the program at the end of the season. And there were so many people that really were upset about this that some talk show host in the East suggested that everybody send CBS, I don't know, 10 pounds of peanuts. Now, basically, the closing session of the program, you know, the last episode, dealt with these people in two separate cities, and they were warring at one another. There had been nuclear explosions across the country. The central government had been destroyed. And so now it was simply every city or community for itself. And when this one community that had very heavy armaments and mortars and all these things approached the other community, and they said, you know, go ahead and surrender, or we're going to just kill you all. And of course, the hero actually said what an American general had said at Bastogne. Remember during the Second World War when the Battle of the Bulge took place, and there was an American general, and he was in this town of Bastogne, and the Germans asked him to surrender, and his reply was, "Tell them nuts." And of course, that was an American way of saying, "No, no way we're going to do it." And so this was the phrase that had been used in Jericho. When this community was asked to surrender, they said nuts, and it was because of that that the talk show host suggested that people start sending CBS 10 pounds or 5 pounds of peanuts, and they got 25,000 pounds, or I've forgotten how many, but an awful lot of nuts, and they got so many responses from angry listeners that they renewed the program, and that's why it's back on now. And it's a story, really, of what happens to America after the nuclear attack. But, of course, this is a different nuclear attack. It did not come from without, as everybody really thought. It actually had been produced by people in this country who wanted to destroy the Central Authority. It was tied into the Central Intelligence Agency that actually brought bombs or set off bombs all across America to disrupt our society and build a new society. That was all about.
Okay,
and so it's well worthwhile watching. I don't know where it's going to go. Maybe it's going to have a good lesson. Maybe it'll have a bad lesson. But you get attached to the individual characters there, and it's really a rather touching love story and adventure story. But the difficulty is that there really are components within our own government that intend to destroy this country and take us into a one-world government, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they wouldn't actually set off nuclear bombs in this country. We won't know whether they come from without or within, but we do know that our government finances Russia. They have since its inception. We financed Communist China, and we have since their inception. And the leaders of both our side and the other side are all under the control of the spiritual hierarchy. And if you read my newsletters, we simply quote what they say. And I'm talking about a pamphlet put out by the Lucis Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, but the Lucis Trust put out a pamphlet a couple of years ago called The Spiritual Hierarchy, and we offer that to people, and we've quoted it many times. You can't understand anything that's going on, Gary, unless you understand the spiritual forces that energize the people who control our country and control Russia and China today, and I believe are moving us towards World War III.
Well, yeah, it just makes me think that I couldn't tell whether it was propaganda trying to get the American people used to the thought of America falling,
it may
or whether it was Christians behind the the network wanting to give people a heads up on what might be coming in the future. I couldn't tell which one it was.
I can't tell you which one it is either, Gary, but I think it's entertaining. But I think we're going to have to realize that we're in real trouble today because we have people in this country who have an entirely different worldview. And they really want this world government, this new world religion. And if they had to suddenly explode some nuclear devices in America to bring us to our knees, they would do that. And believe me, I don't know if you take my newsletter, but our January newsletter tells the story of Sybil Edmonds, who actually worked for the FBI. And she found out some very important information. And as a result, they put a gag on her that she could not tell anybody what she had discovered. Well, what she had discovered, what she eventually revealed to the London Times, and the article was published over in London, and to this date has never been covered by any of our major means of communication here, was that there is a group within our highest levels of our government that are sending, allowing nuclear technology and nuclear supplies to be sent to Pakistan to be used by not only Pakistan but by Iran and the other Islamic nations so they can build nuclear weapons. And we're telling the American people we, of course, don't want to stop the spread of nuclear weapons, but that's really not true. The elitists who are in control want a nuclear holocaust, and this is what they're being set up for. The name again is Sybil Edmonds is her name. It's my January newsletter. It's fascinating material. You can get it off the Internet, but nobody else has come up with the conclusion I have, which I think is valid, that the reason they are allowing the nuclear material to be sent to Pakistan and the other and Iran and other countries is because they really are preparing for this nuclear holocaust that I believe is coming.
Yeah, well, I think you've got something. I'll go back and I'll have to pull that newsletter up.
You haven't got it yet. It hasn't been finished yet. That's the January 2008.
Oh, we haven't got it yet.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I've finished it. And it'll be going out very, very soon.
Well, I'll be looking for it. Stan, here I have a thought. Is there any? We always talk about the problems, but these one worlders get their candidates for the presidency. You think there's any chance that the conservatives could join together and choose a man ahead of time, and that some individual that we could all agree on and get the talk show host all to agree on it? You think there'd be a chance
because
we could get a man in there that would represent the real conservatives?
No, because many of the talk show hosts are shills for the establishment. They've got their shills in the liberal camp. They've got their shills in the conservative camp. And you're going to have to, right now, well, I can't tell you who I would be backing, but it would not be any of the top two in the Republican Party, maybe the third man. Hey, hang on just a moment here. I guess we got a few minutes before we go to the break. No, we wouldn't be able to mobilize the conservatives until there are enough people out there who really understand what's going on and really care. On the other hand, I believe we're moving into very, very difficult times, and I believe people are going to change their perspective about what's important before this is all over, and maybe at the point when there are enough Americans who care, then we can reclaim our country. But you're not going to be able to depend upon a lot of the talk show hosts. Yes, there's some excellent ones out there, but there are a lot who pretend to be conservative, and they're not conservative at all.
I noticed that. It just makes me wonder if they've not been bought off or something.
Well, I like to refer to them as the finest conservative commentators that money could buy.
I believe it.
Okay, anything
thank you,
else?
Doc, thank you, Dr. Stan. Thank you for a tremendous program. You're one of my favorite talk show hosts.
Well, you made my evening. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay,
that was Gary calling from Union Gap up in Washington. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And before we go to Ray, who's on the line here, somebody called in and asked about the fact that they are recommending that all children 6 months of age and older be given the flu vaccine. Latest recommendation by an advisory council to the Centers for Disease Control, and it's assumed, of course, the Centers for Disease Control will go along with that recommendation. And I say it's criminal negligence. First of all, the child at 6 months of age does not have a good immune system. In other words, they're really not in a position to begin to utilize vaccines to build up their immunity, number one. Number two is the influenza vaccine usually doesn't do any good. In fact, there is nothing to suggest that it cuts down on the morbidity or mortality, either in very young children, for prior to a 3 or 4 years of age, or in the elderly, where it's recommended for. And third, almost all of the influenza vaccine has toxic doses of mercury, for which there is no safe dose. And the reason I believe that they're recommending it is to destroy the minds of our children and to continue the autism epidemic. And, of course, as you know, one in six American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. We're under attack today, and a lot of this is being fomented by people working within the CDC. If you wanted to destroy America, would you get a job, you know, working as a doctor in a small community? Or would you get a job working in the Centers for Disease Control or the Federal Drug Administration, where you could do the maximum amount of harm to destroy our country? And I would suggest that you'd want to work for government. I mean, I believe, having been to the CDC and talked to some of the people there, that they're very dangerous. They're dangerous to the health of the American people. And so for the person who called in and asked what I thought about this new recommendation that every child beginning at 6 months of age get a influenza vaccine, I think it's criminal. And, of course, you need to get our material on vaccinations. We have a wonderful two-hour interview with Dr. Russell Blaylock. We have Gary Neal Miller's great book on vaccinations. And, of course, you even need to get the latest interview we've done with Dr. Blaylock on the aluminum, because they have aluminum in the vaccines. Even though they tell us they've taken out the mercury, they have aluminum, and this produces inflammation of the brain and permanent damage. So, well, we'll be back in just a moment here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. This is Open Lines Wednesday, and we look forward to hearing from you. And we'll be going to Ray here in just a minute, but give us a call. Well, hi, Ray. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
I have a question or comment.
Yeah, I have a couple questions about Scientology and the relationship between Aleister Crowley and L. Ron Hubbard. I heard that there was a very close relationship between...
Yes, there was.
And,
in fact, that's covered in a recent book that was put out by Tom Horn. And... we actually carry this, and I think it's a title of Supernatural. I'll try to get the exact title for you, but L. Ron Hubbard, who founded Scientology, and Aleister Crowley were very close. In fact, the title of the book is Stargate, and of course we do carry the book. We think it's an important book,
yeah.
And both Aleister Crowley and L. Ron Hubbard thought that they had actually opened the Stargate and were then able to communicate with the beings from the other dimension, because L. Ron Hubbard was deeply involved in the occult.
Well, the other thing, too, from the Malachi Martin tapes that I have, I understand from what Malachi Martin said that there is such a thing as possession and perfect possession. And people that have tyrannically gone over to the other side don't always appear to be really mean people.
Right.
It's a funny thing, because a lot of times they're pillars of society, and you don't really know one way or the other whether who they really are, what they really believe in. But I think, I just have to say that... there are certain people in our society, like L. Ron Hubbard, and Hugh Hefner and some of these other people, that have actually corrupted, they've corrupted America. They've literally corrupted America, I believe. And it's a shame because, we were supposed to be a Christian nation from the very beginning.
But yeah, do you know how, for instance, who corrupted Hugh Hefner? Hugh Hefner was actually came from a very conservative background.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he began to read the works that were put out by by Alfred Kinsey and the sexologist from the University of Indiana that he began to become the perverted individual he became. But you have to understand who financed the work of Kinsey, and of course that was the Rockefeller Foundation. And the Rockefeller Foundation did everything they could to conceal their involvement in Kinsey's fraudulent research, because it was aimed at destroying the moral fabric of our society. So, although Hugh Hefner cannot escape his share of the blame for what's happened, the Rockefeller Foundation and the Rockefeller family bear the maximum amount of the guilt, because they put up the money. And you follow the money, and that's really covered in the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which we carry, we've kept in print. And everything has been done to keep that from ever being seeing the light of day. We were very fortunate to be given the plates, but believe me, I talked to the publisher. He told me that he could not keep these books on the library shelves. People would give copies to the library and they'd go in and steal them off there. That's why the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, is so vitally important. Okay, anything else now, Ray?
No, a friend of mine many years ago, back in the 1970s, early 70s or mid 70s, he was working for a company down in L.A. that sold water heaters.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment as we... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Ray calling, just asking me about Sidney, about Hugh Hefner, and we were talking about how really the Rockefeller Foundation had funded Kinsey, Alfred Kinsey's fraudulent sex research designed to change the sexual mores of our society. And it was Hugh Hefner's contact with the writings of Alfred Kinsey that turned him from a very conservative youth into what Hugh Hefner and Playboy represent today.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Anything else, Ray?
The other thing was that, this friend of mine, he got a job for a company down in L.A. that sold water heaters, and eventually he found out that the people that owned the company were Scientologists.
Right.
And they got him, as a matter of fact, they promised that he was doing such a good job, they promised to get him into management, you know. But the thing that they did was they put him in a room and told him, they said, you have to renounce Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to renounce him in order to join us. He didn't do it. He didn't do it, but that's exactly true.
And I have no question at all. Sidney, the Scientology comes out of the occult, out of the demonic. And L. Ron Hubbard, who founded Scientology, was deeply involved with the occult and with Aleister Crowley. So I would not be at all surprised at what you said, telling me, Ray.
They have a tight control over the city of L.A., period.
And they control people's minds. You get into Scientology.
You can't get out of it.
You can't get out of it. And if you try to, they'll make your life miserable. Okay, anything else, Ray?
We
got a full line. Thanks very much.
Okay,
well, let's go to Steve, who's calling from Walla Walla, Washington. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Monty. Thank you for your show and bringing the truth to the real constitutional Americans out there. I read a disturbing article in a Republic magazine by Lee Rogers, and in it, there's a House Bill, H.R. 1955, and it's called... The Thought Crime Prevention Bill, Prevention Act of 2007, 404 elected representatives from the Democrat and Republican parties voted in favor of it.
You're talking about Jane Harman's bill, I think, and that, of course, is the bill that's
going to... I'm not sure, Dr.
It's going to establish a commission to looking for really terrorists, domestic terrorists. But I think this is what you're talking about, or am I incorrect?
I'm not certain, Doctor, but... in it, Mr. Rogers thinks that they could be using it to target the growing, I'm quoting, the growing patriot community that is demanding the restoration of the Constitution.
Well, it could very well be.
Well, anyway, keep up the good work, and if we learn the truth will set us free.
That's all we can do, as long as God gives us the breath, why we want to get out across America to try to get people... To begin thinking about what's happening, to understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on. God
Amen.
Bless, and thanks very much for calling.
God bless, Doctor.
So let's go to Stan, who's calling from Northern Arizona. Listen to us on shortwave. How's the shortwave coming in there, Stan?
It comes in great.
All right, of course, that's a great station. That's 250,000 watts, so We're fortunate to have it. I wish we could have it both hours, but we're fortunate to have it for 1 hour anyway.
Yeah, I love your program there, Stan.
Okay, do you have a question or comment?
Well, yeah, I just want to let all your listeners know, you know, with this Presidential Directive 51, Bush can declare martial law at any time for anything that he declares to be a catastrophic event.
All right, fine. For our listeners, that was actually became a law in October of last year. And there
yeah.
were two presidential directives that the president put forward. One was Homeland Security Directive 20, and then the other was National Security Directive, Presidential National Security Directive 51. And you're absolutely right. The president has taken unto himself the ability to establish a military dictatorship in America for an indefinite period of time, answerable to no one, suspend all rights here in America. And the fact that most people have never heard of this simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Go ahead.
Let everybody know what the catastrophic event's going to be.
All right.
There is a weapon system that was developed. It's called Iridium 66. Okay? It's got electromagnetic pulse guns on them that will cook off all the computer chips in our vehicles, our phones, and our computers. Dr. Bill Deagle had a vision of this back in 99. Well, I don't trust every prophecy I read, but as soon as I read it, it was confirmed to be by somebody I know that they developed that weapon for the government.
Well, of course, we don't know that's what it's going to be, but they do need an incident. I think it's a frightening thing. We do have a great new talk called The Planned Police State. It's available on DVD. We hope people will want to get it. And we talk about the various presidential directives. And you're right, probably there's going to be an event. But
I just got confirmation again because, I always have the Holy Spirit confirm things to me before I talk about it.
Okay, well, I appreciate you getting it, and thanks very much. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. And certainly our last caller was talking about the Presidential Decision Directive 51 passed in October of last year that does give him the ability to establish a dictatorship at any time. And why would he do that? And is there any congressional authority for it? No. But, of course, it's the law of the land today because everybody's afraid to speak out. Well, let's go to Jason calling from Spokane, Washington. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I'm doing well. I just want to commend you for reaching out to me. I am one that you have unbrainwashed me, so to speak. Your message has gotten through to me. And I just can't wait for my next paycheck from work to order more of your fantastic literature and DVDs and audio tapes that, I tell you, I am on fire. I'm just reading right now Rule by Secrecy by Jim Mars. I don't know if you ever had him as a guest.
I've had a number of interviews with Jim. He's a great guy.
What a fantastic book. Also, other books by Rodney Stitch, Defying America.
Defrauding America.
To the Devil. These have just opened up my mind, and I've gone back to reading my Bible because of it, and everything you say just is, I tell you, you're just the greatest. Everybody in America should be tuning in to your show, and I just want to congratulate you, and I just want to hope to maybe pass the message along to those I'm now sharing with others at my lunch breaks at work with a few individuals. And, I heard an 18-year-old, like I think senior in high school, and she was saying that, well, I just can't believe that the government would be behind, the 911 fiasco. And I was thinking, you see, that's where the young people are at. That's where I was at. They had no clue. They were, believing in the government, and all the things that the media has dumbed them down to believe in, how they want them to believe. And fortunately for Radio Liberty, has gotten me out of that mindset. And I tell you, your books, I'm creating a little library here at my home, and there is no more cherished treasure that I'm so proud of than all these conspiracy
Hold that thought right there for just a moment, Jason. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Jason calling us from Spokane, Washington. He's listening there. And, of course, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out there in the listening audience, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because this is open lines. And Jason was just saying how much he enjoys the programs. How really, he no longer just believes everything he sees on television or hears on the radio. And pointing out that so many people are simply blind. They could not believe there's any possibility that the story of what happened on September 11, 2001 is not exactly as we've been told. And I simply would suggest, Jason, if you run into people who feel that way, ask them, well, could you explain to me why Building 7 came down at 5:20 in the evening when it wasn't hit by a plane? And why, if you look at the pictures, it's obviously controlled demolition, because what happens is the center of the roof caves in first, and then the entire base of the building gave way. How do you think Osama bin Laden was able to get in there and plant all those explosives to bring down Building 7 as a controlled demolition? Well, of course, you know, and then, of course, you can tell them to go up on Google and Google in Building 7 videos, and they can see it for themselves. You've got to get them to think, Jason. That's the important thing. Try to get people to think, or ask them what happened to the 1,100 bodies that have never been recovered from the Twin Towers. And certainly that, you know, if they'd simply been squashed, why, the bodies would have been there. They would have been compressed, but they would have been there. But those bodies disappeared. How could you possibly eliminate 1,100 bodies of people there, over 2,000 who died? But what happened to those bodies? And they found little bone fragments, you know, maybe half a mile, quarter of a mile away. How could they get there if this came down by compression?
And then, well, what I try and do with people is to steer them in the direction of Radio Liberty. I said, here, check out some of these books, because you're not going to find these at your local library and all this related literature. And if you really want to know what's really going on, such as myself, you have to, like, get in to support Radio Liberty. And that's what I preach about today, and it's really paid off. And that's the message I try and get out, because if you want to learn, there's so many DVDs, so much, the stuff. I mean, like I said, I can't wait for my next check to, like, order this, order that, and order that. I'm just so excited. Every night I get home from work, I get into, watching this or reading more and tuning into your show. I mean, yeah, like I said, everybody in America that wants to know what's going on should be listening to Dr. Stan's Radio Liberty. And I just want to say thank you. And for people out there that, you know, really get buy the books, buy the deed. It's money well worth spent. It's really paid off for me. So I'll get off the air, and just keep up the good work, Dr. Stan.
Well, thank you very much, Jason.
God bless you. Really
appreciate it, and God bless you, too. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Jason then calling from Spokane, Washington. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And it's very gratifying to hear a call like that from somebody who says that we've helped to not only clarify what's going on, but to draw them closer to the Lord, and they're back reading their Bibles again, because that's what it's really all about. Our real thrust is to get people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, and to bring them close to the Lord, and to increase their faith and prepare them for the difficult times that lie ahead. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And right now we've got Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I wanted to pick up, if I could, the thread from Ray's call. And okay. He was talking about pillars of society.
Right.
who just really turn out to be not who you thought they were. There's the one that just died about maybe 24 hours or so ago.
You're talking about Bill Buckley, of course.
That's right. And I'm sure many of your listeners heard Limbaugh today talking at length about his relationship with William Buckley. And I learned something. I'd never really known quite the depth of his influence on United American culture, that he's known as the father of the modern conservative movement. They've been saying in the news, and that's also what Limbaugh was saying, things to that effect. The problem is William F. Buckley was also Skull and Bones. Class of 1950, Limbaugh made no mention that I heard of Buckley's education, for example, at Yale. He gave quite an interesting rundown of his life and career and things like that, but nothing that was suspect in any way. I'd like to additionally say that I've always respected Buckley, suspected him at many times, but respecting him as a person and a very eloquent, articulate, intelligent, educated, sophisticated, the list like that could go on and on. And then knowing for years that he's been a mentor to Limbaugh. But Limbaugh has also mentioned David Rockefeller as a mentor. It's been quite a few years since he said anything like that. But I heard it twice in his earlier, I think in the early 90s I heard it. Not only was William F. Buckley a Skull and Bones, he was counsel in foreign relations, and from what I can tell, from certain websites anyhow, he's also a Bilderberger. So here we have, I've been thinking all day, now we have our modern conservative movement, if you can call it that anymore, is in a shambles. And I'm starting to realize why. The very foundation or the roots of it, at least this one man with the influence he's exerted for 50 years or so over what we call conservative thought here in the United States. And Limbaugh is someone I've enjoyed quite a bit over the years. But I saw right in the very beginning when, like in the early years, he was on the radio here in the early 90s, and he was on TV for a while. I couldn't help but notice how he was perpetuating the very serious problem that we have at the grassroots level nationwide of pitting the left against the right, Democrats versus Republicans, liberals versus conservatives. And so we go through our years battling it out against each other, missing all along the real problem in the stratospheres where William F. Buckley lives.
Well, I think everything you've said is absolutely right, Mike. And let me just put out a telephone number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But what nobody is, of course, telling you about William Buckley is, he comes from the Central Intelligence Agency, and he worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, and once a spook, always a spook. Now, first of all, you have to understand that at a very young age, William Buckley wrote a book, and I think it was called God and Man at Yale, something like that, but it was about how the purpose of Yale University was to destroy the faith of the people. William Buckley came from a Catholic background. Then he wrote a wonderful book called McCarthy and His Enemies, which I read and really appreciated, and a great defense of Joe McCarthy. I would simply point out that a few years ago, William Buckley wrote another book about McCarthy, condemning him as an extremist and radical. And why did he change from where he was, McCarthy and His Enemies, a wonderful, wonderful book, to defaming Joe McCarthy? And I'm not saying that everything Joe McCarthy did was good, but Joe McCarthy's heart was in the right place. He was trying to point out the fact that there were communists working in our government, and there really were. But because what McCarthy missed is the fact that it was not the communists who were directing our foreign policy. It was the people from the Council on Foreign Relations, of which William Buckley was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations for a period of at least of 40 or more years. So you have to understand that the Central Intelligence Agency plants people in journalism and within the media. And as a source of reference for that, there's a wonderful book called The Fixing Intelligence by Lieutenant General William Odom. The book is, again, Fixing Intelligence by William Odom, and of course he was the head of the NSA, the National Security Agency, the most secret of all the top secret organizations in America, with over 100,000 employees, and a lot of people have never heard of them. They're so secret. In fact, some people say NSA, National Security Administration, stands for no such agency. But William Odom, in his book, since he really can't tell us what's going on, although we think he's a good patriot, but he has sworn all sorts of secrecy oaths and promised never to tell anything. But in his book, he could ask questions like, should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the CIA have people, journalists, planted within the media? Well, of course, we know that they have journalists planted within the media. There's another book called The Great Wurlitzer, I think is the title of it, pointing out that the CIA had something like over 400 people, their agents, planted in the media. And, of course, William Buckley is given money from somebody to form National Review. And, of course, it's conservative. As you say, he talks the conservative philosophy and why the conservative philosophy is better than the liberal philosophy. And that's true. I believe the conservative philosophy is better than the liberal philosophy. But it's, as you said so well, Mike, the whole idea is to pit the right against the left, the Democrats against the Republicans, the conservatives against the liberals. That's exactly what William Buckley did, because they never told you the truth. They never told you that this is a spiritual battle. They never condemned the Council on Foreign Relations. Why would they? William Buckley was there. They never exposed the CIA machinations and their mass assassinations and assassinating people all throughout the world. And we hear a lot about Pinochet and Chile, and killing 3,000 leftists. But we never point out that this was all backed by Henry Kissinger of the Council on Foreign Relations and by the CIA, and the CIA was working with the people who were killing these leftists down there, on one hand, and on the other hand, financing the leftist movement throughout the world, with the other hand. And so William Buckley played a very useful part. His magazine, National Review, had many wonderful articles in it, and many wonderful people read it and believed it, and 95% was true. It was that 5% where they lied, and they never would tell you what this was really all about. About the aristocrats, and William Buckley was one of them, who believed that they have the right to rule the world. They do rule the world. They control the intelligence agencies throughout the world. They assassinate people through the CIA and other intelligence agencies, MI5 and the Mossad and other organizations, and they all work together towards this one world order, a one world government, a one world leader. But William Buckley knew exactly what he was doing. He played his part beautifully. And, of course, he was one of the aristocrats who certainly wanted to distract the American people and the sincere conservatives from understanding what this is really all about. And that is that there's a spiritual battle being played out for the hearts of men and the survival of Western civilization. And there is an aristocratic group that is behind all of this. And many of these are truly demonically possessed. So. And that would be my response. I think William Buckley, you're not supposed to speak badly of the dead, but I think William Buckley was a very evil man who gave you this impression, of being so erudite, and he was. And gave you the impression he was so intelligent, and he was. That's why, of course, he was able to be so harmful and neutralize so many good people. And so only talking about philosophy rather than conspiracy. And anybody who talked about conspiracy was immediately attacked and vilified by William Buckley and in association with all the people who are already part of a conspiracy to destroy America, indeed to destroy existing Christian civilization and bring about this wonderful new society that's planned for us by the Luciferians. Anything else?
Well, I just think that the truth needs to be told, whether they're living or dead. This gives us an excellent chance to. Well, it's a case study in the way we've been operated upon by these powers that be, these this aristocracy that we really do live under. And I never understood fully his influence on Limbaugh until I heard Limbaugh's first hour this morning. It went on and on, the godlike status that Buckley had in Limbaugh's life. And what do we have now, if we've been watching closely Limbaugh in the recent half a year or so? He's played a major influence in what I call the dismantling or the destruction of the Republican Party, as if it wasn't fairly well destroyed already by the Bush administration. But for the sake of this election, and I still believe, as I've said in the past, that Hillary is the one, the anointed one, to be. I know it doesn't look very likely right now, but I think that we'll just have to keep watching. But I don't see how we can possibly get a proper president in there, even if we had the Republican McCain. What good's that going to do? He's counsel in foreign relations. We need to start to be able to look at the influences that are being forced over us like this to recognize how we're being manipulated, to see how these people operate, and to listen to their words and find out what they're really saying. Rush Limbaugh is no friend of America, but he's really taken the conservative sector and the Christian sector, and he's got their ear, and his word is gospel rather than God's word. So that's enough. You probably have some more callers, and better get off and make room for them.
All right, fine, Michael. Okay. I appreciate so much your calling. Again, right. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And you must understand that they have planted people within talk radio as well. And, of course, whether they knowingly or unknowingly run under the control, I can't say, but I've heard Rush Limbaugh repeatedly attack anybody who talks about the Council on Foreign Relations. I know a great deal about the Council. I've spent weeks back there going through their records and some of them, their files that nobody else has ever gone through before. I know that they were planning on the Second World War in 1938. That was, of course, before the Second World War started. It was all slam dunk. Council on Foreign Relations, at least according to Professor Quigley, in his classic book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, the Council on Foreign Relations was formed as a front group for the Round Table and J.P. Morgan. And then, of course, the Round Table was a front group for the Association of Helpers, and the Association of Helpers was a front group for Cecil Rhodes Secret Society that was formed back in 1891, four people, Cecil Rhodes, Lord Milner, a man named Brett who became Lord Esher, and then, of course, a man named William Stead. And William Stead was deeply involved in the occult, into mysticism, into theosophy, and of course, both Milner and Cecil Rhodes had sworn their oaths of allegiance to the great architect of the universe. They were both Masons. We'll be back in just a moment, and welcome your calls. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course we were just talking a little bit about the background of the Council on Foreign Relations and how Rush Limbaugh will never address the issue of the Council on Foreign Relations, and anybody who tries to call in on his programs, he immediately attacks them and vilifies them and then cuts them off. Why? Well, because Rush Limbaugh is one of the finest conservatives that money could buy. He's on over 650 stations. He makes $20 or $30 million a year. I don't know how much he makes. He gets fabulous sums of money for giving talks, and of course he is well paid for what he does. But what he does is neutralize the conservative movement. Now, I will give Rush credit that he has taken people, many people from the far left, and brought them into the center, into a more moderate position. And for that, I'm really very, very thankful. It is our job, your job, and my job to take those people that Rush Limbaugh has moved from the far left to the into the moderate or intermediate position and bring them over then to a full realization of what's going on. And the only way that's going to happen is they realize that Rush Limbaugh is not telling them the truth. Rush Limbaugh has an agenda, and of course he is there to attack anyone who speaks against David Rockefeller, who speaks against the Council on Foreign Relations, who talks about the fact that there is a movement to bring about a one-world government, a one-world religion, and, of course, a one-world leader. And that has always been the goal of the ancient mystery religions going back thousands of years. And you really need to get the book. We carry The Secret Destiny of America. It was written by Manly P. Hall, who is a Satanist. And he will tell you that for thousands of years, these movements have been out there. And for at least 3,000 years, why, we know that they've been working to bring about this new world order. And you can tell that because of the emblem. And he, of course, shows you a picture of the emblem that's on the back of the dollar bill. It's really very, very interesting that recently the State Department has launched, maybe it's perhaps through the Smithsonian, I'm not sure, but they're sending an exhibit all over the country on the emblem on the back of the dollar bill to play down and attack anybody who wants to suggest that that has anything to do with the Masons. That's not a Masonic emblem. It's certainly, the Masons had nothing or very little to do with the formation of America. And that really isn't true. This is not a Masonic emblem. This is an emblem of the ancient mystery religions. That's what people must understand. The pyramid capped by the Al Singhai has been around for thousands of years as an emblem of the mystery religions, which is what modern-day Masonry is, and unfortunately it influences America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs and agree with what we're saying to help us so we can maintain our network of almost, not quite, but almost 60 outlets every single week. And a lot of them are just half an hour a week, but at least half an hour a week somewhere in America. Many people who never before have heard the truth are hearing the truth, and at least the question is being raised in their minds. Could this really be true? And I will tell you that a lot of people have told me they thought I was crazy when they heard me for the first time, and before long they were afraid that we weren't, and eventually they came to understand what was going on. But now as they go around and try to tell other people what's happening, everybody thinks they're crazy. Well, we're not crazy. This is the reality of where we really live today. There really are secret societies. And, of course, if you don't believe in this, well, you need to go up on your Internet, look up the Lucis Trust, and look up Theosophy and Rosicrucianism and Masonry, and understand there was the Masons on the Supreme Court. Just type in Masons, Supreme Court Justices, and if you check out, you'll find what I'm telling you is true, that the Masons control the United States Supreme Court, and majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 for a period of 30 years, and during those 30 years, they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. They knew exactly what they were doing. They wanted to destroy the moral foundation of our country because they worship a different God. Who do they worship? They worship the great architect of the universe. Well, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the book we talked about, The Secret Destiny of America. Now, we carry the book, but you have to get that and just ask for it. It's not in our regular catalog because we don't want to be accused of encouraging people to get things put out by a Satanist, written by a Satanist. But Manly P. Hall really was a worshiper of Lucifer. And, of course, this is why he really has such a powerful influence on contemporary thought. And, of course, the Institute, the Philosophical Research Institute, is still present in Southern California and, of course, still funded by those invisible forces working behind the scenes. In fact, during the Roosevelt administration, he sent a whole team out there to copy all of the material that Manly P. Hall had collected in many years of research throughout the world on the occult, because Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who put the occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill, was deeply involved himself with the occult. What you really need to verify what we're saying is a video. It's entitled The Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Your Nation's Capital, where you'll actually see Manly P. Hall's center in Southern California. Beautiful, beautiful library down there. And, of course, they still are holding regular sessions and regular teaching sessions, introducing people to this Gnostic or Luciferian philosophy, or which, of course, permeates every aspect of our society today. And modern-day Masonry is simply a manifestation of this, of Gnosticism. Suddenly, again then, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk, Forbidden Secret, the four-tape or four-CD set, The Secret, Behind the Secret, we recommend very strongly. Our four-tape or four-CD set on Satanism and Deliverance. Our four-CD set, The Supernatural, and the book that goes with that by Joanna Michelson, entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil, Satanic Crimes, and a four-tape set that goes with that, going into the Bilderbergers and their relationship to Satanism. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we do hope that many of you will challenge what we say and try to find out wherein the truth lies. Because if what I'm saying is true, then you need to be involved in helping us get the truth out. We truly are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. There are powerful spiritual forces that are energizing people at the highest level of our government, and of course that will be covered in our January newsletter, which will be coming out hopefully before very long. And then of course we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you of the views that are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Joe Schimmel, who's one of our favorite guests. And, of course, we have a lot of favorite guests, but Joe's something very special. Joe started out, really, as a musician, and he was writing songs for rock music and composing the music, and he was really doing very, very well. He was writing some amazing songs. The trouble is, he wasn't quite sure where the wording came from. And as he was writing these songs, lots of times there'd be words there he didn't even understand. But of course, the phrases would rhyme very well. And then when he looked them up in the dictionary, why they were the proper use of the words. But then he began to wonder, where am I getting these ideas from? And then as he noticed, his writing was getting darker and darker and more sinister, and he suddenly realized that he himself was possessed. Well, of course, he then, of course, went home and got rid of all of his rock music and eventually went on to become a Christian and a minister, and he's done some wonderful work. And those of you who have never seen his videos, which we do carry, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And we have a number of other video productions he's done. Excellent. We certainly recommend them to you. And if you get one of our catalogs or go up on our website, you'll find out about them. But Joe's working on several, new videos at the present time, or DVDs. And I don't know which one he's going to talk about tonight. Joe, what are we going to talk about?
Well, I've been praying about this time together, and I'm open to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I'd like to talk about The Secret, because I know you've been working on Rhonda Byrne's presentation of The Secret, and Rhonda Byrne's, of course, was a woman over in Australia, and her whole life began to fall apart until she came across a book that was written by a woman over here in the United States, and of course, this book introduced her to the law of attraction, and of course, the woman, and the name escapes me right at the moment, but she was
Esther Hicks.
What was the name?
Esther Hicks.
Esther Hicks, and Esther Hicks was a medium who actually channeled a group of demonic spirits known as Abraham. Well, anyway, Esther Hicks wrote a book, sold millions of copies, and put together a DVD that sold millions of copies. She's been featured on Oprah Winfrey and featured on Larry King and all sorts of major television programs across America. And millions of people are following her advice because she promises you wealth and prosperity if you can simply learn how to use the law of attraction. So you pick the story up from there.
Yeah, Esther Hicks is, you nailed it. She's a medium, and a lot of people, when they get The Secret, it comes in this package that the DVD itself is made to look, you know, scientific with a bunch of self-help gurus and what have you, and they try to make it, you know, they use some quantum theory and so forth to try to back it up, and people think they're getting something scientific about the power of the subconscious mind, but incidentally, as you look into it, it's not scientific at all. It's basically rooted in the occult, as you mentioned, and The Secret, if you just watch the very beginning of the DVD, there's a lot of really quick quick footage or a lot of quick shots. All you do is slow that down, and you start seeing different occult symbols, and you know, the pyramid, and you see Rosicrucianism written out, most of the word written out over and over again. Every chapter break has Rosicrucianism, and you're familiar. Dr. Stanley wrote Brotherhood of Darkness about the different secret societies, and the Rosy Cross or Rosicrucianism was, you know, an ancient occult society, which, you know, taught communion with the demonic realm and Lucifer and what have you. So from the very get-go, you begin to see that a lot of what's going on there is rooted in the occult. As you progress into the DVD, you start getting the teaching about how humans are gods, that we ourselves are God, and that we need to tap into greater knowledge to realize our divinity and tap into this so-called lost secret. And there's dispersion cast upon, biblical truth in Burns' work, which, well, basically in the Esther's writings on the revelations from the spirits Abraham, but all this is rooted, as you know, Dr. Stan, in the occult. It's all rooted in the first lies that Satan gave in Eden, which, you know, the first thing Satan said to Eve was, "Hath God said?" Try to question God's word and his authority. And then he told her that if she partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there is a secret, you know, the tree of knowledge, the gnosis, the secret gnosis, she could realize her godhood, that she could become God. And it's interesting because all these lies go right back to Eden. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that so your minds would be corrupted from your simple devotion to Christ, that you might believe in a different gospel, a different Jesus, and a different spirit." A few verses later in that same chapter, he says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no marvel that his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness." So Paul warns about a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different spirit, and the same way that Satan deceived Eve. And that's what we're getting in the last days. Jesus predicted there'd be these false Christs and false spirits. And when one watches The Secret, it's propagating the very things that are condemned throughout the Bible, throughout God's revelation to humanity. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul talked about there would be an apostasy in the church in the last days. And he said that, the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And that's exactly what we have in our time. We have many people in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity, propagating The Secret, which is rooted, and I think that's the most important thing that can be said about it, is that it's ultimately rooted in the occult. She admits, although it was played on the lowdown because they didn't want people to know about it because they knew that it raised some red flags, But it's important that people understand that Burns herself admits that the main catalyst behind The Secret, as far as her source, was Esther Hicks, who admits, I have a couple of Esther Hicks books in my research when I was researching her on her channeling Abraham and the Law of Attraction and what have you. And she acknowledges, she says that when she got in touch with the spirits, Abraham, she said that, she basically says that, you know, her husband tried to get her into these different mediums and what have you, Edgar Casey and others. And
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joe Schimmel.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I, of course, our guest this evening is Pastor Joe Schimmel, who's done some wonderful, wonderful work and research in the past, and he's in the process of doing research into Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. And, of course, millions of copies of the book have been sold. Millions of copies of the DVD have been sold. Millions of Americans have heard her on Oprah Winfrey or on Larry King, and have heard the commendation of her work by Ellen DeGeneres and by Jim Carrey and by Jack Canfield, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, a series of books. And so they've taken this up because there's a promise that, of course, if you can learn to utilize the Law of Atonement, why, of course, a Law of Attraction, I should say, that you're going to be able to get wealth and power. In fact, whatever you really want, if you simply think about it, it will come to you, and you will attract that. And it's really a very, very attractive idea. But the trouble is, it's rooted in the occult. And, of course, these people who begin to meditate and begin to ponder on this sort of thing are giving themselves over to evil, demonic spirits. People sort of laugh at that in this modern day, but they don't understand there really is another dimension. There really are demonic spirits that are out there just waiting for you to ask them to come into your life, and they're quite willing to come in. And at that point, you're going to be possessed. So go right ahead with the story, Joe.
Well, that's exactly it. It's when Esther Hicks, she was first turned off. She said she was frightened when her husband wanted her to start channeling, or I should say, just open up to the messages of channelers. And she'd walk out of the room when he'd be reading his books by channelers and what have you. And I believe God gave her an intuitive warning to stay away from that stuff. And what happens is she ends up eventually becoming more attracted to it. She ends up trying to seek out a medium with him that ends up being dead, someone that he's reading. And they come in contact with another medium, and this medium instructs her, the spirit channeling this medium, to begin to meditate every morning, and she began to get involved in Easter meditation. And then she said while she was doing that, she said eventually she'd be laying in bed, and all of a sudden she would just, you know, slam her husband in the chest involuntarily. She said eventually her head started moving involuntarily, kind of like, you know, to the one, you know, kind of like I kind of picture The Exorcist with that gal, Linda Blair, you know, her head spinning and the pea soup coming out. She doesn't quite explain it like that, but she talks about her head moving involuntarily in different directions. And then she says that she eventually realized that her nose was trying to spell out letters. And she said that she realized that she was a Ouija board, that she was being used by these spirits. And eventually she had this compulsion to go to the typewriter, and she began typing out a bunch of words automatically, and her husband had to grab her hands thinking she was going to break her fingers because she was typing so erratically, and it wasn't her. She says it was automatic writing, and she began to become a tool of these collective spirits. I refer to them as more like legion. The Bible talks about several spirits possessing the demoniac at the tombs, which refer to themselves as legion. Well, she has a legion of spirits possessing her that she calls Abraham. And they want to be called Abraham because they want to be associated with biblical truth, even though the very Bible they try to appeal to give them an air of truth, condemns the contact of the spirit world, condemns the contact of the dead as well. The Bible says that the dead know nothing. They're not here on this planet. They either go to hell or to heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body, for the believer is to be present with the Lord. And the Bible says for the non-believer, Jesus talked about the rich man. Upon his death, he went to Hades, or to the place of torment. And the scripture actually is a scripture in Isaiah that actually says Abraham speaks of prophets that they don't know us. You know, they're not here on this planet. So, but the Bible warns about familiar spirits, spirits that take on, they'll take on the appearance of a dead relative, or They know, and demons have been around a long time. They have a lot of knowledge, not anywhere compared to God's knowledge. It's not exhaustive, but Satan and the demonic world, they're far more powerful than humans. The Bible says that we've been created lower than the angels, that they're higher beings than us, the book of Jude says, and also the Second Peter. So they can imitate people. Satan's he comes as an angel of light. So they come as familiar spirits, and they like to take biblical personages, or they like to take uncles or aunts from the past, give a little bit of truth, and then try to win over somebody's confidence before they fill them with their lies. Spirit world is very, very real. Jesus conducted several exorcisms along with his disciples when he was here during the incarnation, and after the resurrection, his apostles continued to conduct exorcism. And one thing we see from studies of anthropology is almost every ancient culture has records of and belief systems in a spiritual world. One thing we find out, though, in the New Age movement, they want everybody to believe all the spirits are good. Everybody, you know, there's no evil in the spiritual world. Well, Dr. Stan, you and I know if we went into the physical world and we just went into a jungle, or we just went into our backyard and lifted up a rock and blindly just stuck our hand with a blindfold around our eyes under that rock and picked up whatever insects, you know, just happened to be there, that could be quite dangerous. Well, the same thing is true in the spiritual world. You don't just plunge into the spiritual world. The Bible says to test the spirits, see whether they're from God. And there are good angels, but good angels don't bring occult knowledge. A true angel of God, the Bible says, test the spirits, see whether they're from God, because every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And every spirit that denies that Jesus is the Christ, or denies the Father and Son relationship, the Bible says, is the spirit of Antichrist. That's in 1 John 2 and 1 John 4. It so happens that these spirits that Esther Hicks is in touch with, they denied that Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God who gave his life for our sins on the cross. So we can identify the very spirits that the Bible talks about that in the last days would perpetuate these lies, that would turn people away from Jesus Christ, his atonement, and the salvation that we have through him.
And it really is so interesting. I was just this evening before I came out here reading about a recent survey that showed almost half of the other people who came from a Christian background as a youth, almost half of them eventually turned against Christianity and the religion of their youth. So there is a conscious, organized effort today to destroy the faith of our children, and of course to bring them into adult life. You know, without that belief in Jesus Christ, and then so many of them will be searching for purpose, because man needs to have a God. And of course, then of course they begin looking to the occult, because this gives them all sorts of promise of power and wealth and prosperity, and anything you want, you can have. All you have to do is simply ask for it. And of course, the great tragedy is that, unfortunately, we are losing millions of people from the Christian faith, simply because most Christians are totally unaware of what we're talking about tonight.
You're exactly correct. You mentioned a slew of people that are helping to perpetuate the secret, and one of the names that caught my attention that you mentioned, all of them did, but one specifically was Jack Canfield, and you mentioned Chicken Soup for the Soul. What's interesting, Dr. Stana, when I started researching The Secret, and part of that was you asking me if I was familiar with what was going on with The Secret, and being a pastor, I had two or three people in the fellowship that I pastor that had mentioned what I knew about The Secret had just come out, and people that they were talking to were trying to get them into The Secret, and a couple of them came in contact with it through business meetings and seminars and what have you. And I got a call from you just subsequent to that, and I thought, wow, this thing's taking off, and who would have thought that Oprah Winfrey would have shows, you know, extolling its so-called, you know, mystical virtues and what have you, and other prominent people. But the same time I began to research it, I went to a Christian bookstore. I was taking my son to a miniature golfing a couple towns away, and we have a miniature golf course and have some father-son time. About 10 years old then, that was last year. And as we're going there, I saw a Christian bookstore off the freeway, and I'm a real sucker for bookstores. I thought, we have some time. And I stopped off there, and I picked up a couple books. I'd never seen this particular store. As I was leaving, I saw Jack Canfield. It was a little video promo for one of the Chicken Soup for the Souls DVDs. And I thought, that's crazy, because I just saw The Secret, not, you know, maybe 3-4 days prior to that, and he was one of the spokesmen for The Secret. And I talked to the manager there. I can't say a manager. There were two ladies there. I thought one of them might be the manager. I'm not sure. I mentioned, do you guys realize who this guy is? And, you know, I know he's huge because, I mean, there's been over 100 million sold in the series of Chicken Soup series. That's his series. Not all written by him, but his series. The guy is incredibly rich and powerful. But here, I'm in an evangelical Christian church, and here's a man I see pushing the whole doctrine, you know, the whole lie that we are God and everything the Bible warns about in the last days. In the secret, a few days later, I see the same man right behind the, behind the clerk, the two clerks there, talking about, Christianity. And I thought, you know what? I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise because the Bible does talk about these things coming, but what you had mentioned about so many Christians are so deceived. And what was very heartbreaking, I mentioned this to these ladies, and one was younger, so I feel, she must have, she's probably not really biblically literate, and God help her to grow in the Lord and discern these things. But even when I tried to explain to her, maybe I didn't do such a great job in the minute I had, but she looked like at me like I was from another planet. I thought, wow, isn't it interesting? There's so many biblical admonitions warning us about deception. In fact, when Jesus gave the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, he was about ready to depart and be crucified and then resurrected, and his disciples were talking to him about how beautiful the stones of the temple were, and they said, they were talking about how beautiful they were. That's in Mark 13, Luke 21, and Matthew 24, and it's interesting because they started showing the stones of the temple, he said not one of these stones would be standing upon another. And of course, almost 40 years after his crucifixion, the Romans came and destroyed the temple. But the very first thing he said to warn them, though, he said, see to it that no one misleads you or deceives you. And then right after that, he said, there will be these false Christs that will rise. And then a few verses later, he says, they'll deliver you over to tribulation and they'll kill you. And he says, there'll be false prophets that will rise and deceive many. And then he warns about the abomination of desolation in the holy place. And then in verses after that, he warns about false Christ coming into the desert and secret rooms. And then verse 24 of chapter 24, he says, for false Christ and false prophets shall arise, showing great signs and wonders, deceiving if possible even the very elect of God. Behold, I've warned you in advance. Over and over again, one of the main things he warns us about as Christians is deception in the last days.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Pastor Joe Schimmel. Right ahead, Joe, because this is so important. We were told that there were going to be a deception in the last days. We were told there was going to be a great turning away from the faith before the man of sin was exposed. And boy, we can certainly see that happening today, can't we?
We sure can. And thank God, Dr. Stan, there's a remnant out there like yourself and others who pay attention to the Scripture. And what's happening right now, I believe there is a counterfeit kingdom appearing. I believe just like the occult societies during Hitler's time, you had the so-called Thousand-Year Reich. They wanted to pawn off Hitler's Nazi regime as though it was the kingdom of God on earth. And many professing Christians got caught up in that. Even though crosses were being taken down from the schoolhouses and swastikas were being put up in their stead, many mainline denominations, many professing evangelicals and leaders got caught up in that. And Hitler, I believe, was a prototype, a picture of the Antichrist trying to exterminate the Jewish people, as well as any vestige of true Christianity from the planet was his goal. And he marched Jews from 20 different nations of Europe, his plan was to kill 6 million of them. But he was possessed, and as you know, he was involved in occult societies. The Nazis were birthed out of occult societies. But we have a picture there of what was confused. Satan was able to confuse the German people that this was somehow a manifestation of the kingdom of God. And I believe that's what's happening today. Many Christians, professing Christians, aren't paying attention to Jesus' warnings. Warnings about, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 9 and 10, that they'll deliver you over to be killed. And then he said, and many will fall away at that time. The great Greek word of scandalizo there means to fall or to stumble. He said many would fall away. I find it intriguing because in John 16, right after chapter 15, where Jesus said, he warned his disciples, he said, they hated me, the master, and if they hated me, the master, they're going to hate you as well, because the servant's not greater than the master. Then he said in chapter 16, in the first few verses, he says, they're going to deliver you to be killed, claiming that they're serving God, they're doing God's service. So, and then he said, I'm telling you these things ahead of time, so that when it happens, you will not fall away. Same Greek word, scandalizo, so you won't be scandalized. I'm warning you ahead of time that there's going to be trouble ahead. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be false Christ, false prophets. That's back in Matthew 24. These warnings, he said, I tell you in advance so we won't fall away. Well, then, it's crazy because then you read, he says that many will fall away. Well, what gives? He says these things when we fall, so we won't fall away, yet many do fall away. Well, the problem isn't in some deficiency in Jesus' teaching. The problem is that us as pastors and spiritual leaders, we're not warning the flock, giving them the warnings that Jesus gave so people wouldn't fall away. Therefore, people are succumbing to all kinds of spiritual deception. Paul said that concerning Christ's coming to gather us together in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, he said not to be deceived either by word or by a spirit or by a letter as from us as of the day of Christ is at hand. He said that day will not happen unless the falling away happens first. There it is again. So the scriptures talk about this great falling away. Paul said some would depart from the faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said to Timothy, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not heed sound doctrine. Boy, are we in those days today, Dr. Stan. But after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers that will tickle the ears and tell them what they want to hear, and they'll turn away from the truth to mythology, i.e. the secret, i.e. these different heresies that are out there. So we have these prophetic warnings that there would be this huge apostasy in the end times, a great falling away. However, what's happening now is even though people are getting away from the Lord and they're turning to different occult practices, they're calling them these things Christian. They're trying to baptize them in the name of Christ. And
hold on,
all
right. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Joe. So Pastor Schimmel is talking about the great deception that's taking place today as Christians are being led away from the faith into these occult beliefs and occult practices, and certainly they permeate so many of our major churches today because even our ministers have no idea what's really going on. You pick up the story there.
Well, that's it. In fact, a lot of ministers, quote-unquote, are leading the way into this apostasy. In fact, right now as we speak, there's Rick Warren. He wrote The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life, and he's been on Fox News repeatedly and CNN, and the world's just totally, very much embraced him. And what's interesting, though, is he's encouraging people not to study Bible prophecy. In fact, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he has a section there where he encourages people to stay away from Bible prophecy and says claims that it's a satanic distraction. I'm not kidding. I've read over his words over and over again from his book there. I thought, wow, this is crazy because he basically says, hey, Jesus doesn't want us to get focused on Bible prophecy. He wants us to focus on completing our mission and what have you. And he takes a scripture in the book of Acts out of context, and he uses a scripture where Jesus, when they ask about if he's going to establish the kingdom at that time, and he says the times and seasons are in the Lord's hands, and he tells them, he does tell them to go and minister in Samaria and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth and spread the gospel. But to take that scripture and say that prophecy is a satanic deception, or I should say a satanic distraction, I'm like, now this guy is either incredibly naive or he's a player and he knows what he's doing. But either way, then he quotes a scripture where Jesus said, no man knows the day and the hour. Therefore, since he couldn't know the hour, Jesus said he didn't know the day or the hour. Therefore, we shouldn't be concerned about studying prophecy and so forth. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? The very scriptures that we've been talking about, Dr. Stan, from Matthew 24 and 25, many of the scriptures we've talked about, where Jesus warns about deceptions and prophetic announcements about the future, that things we need to be aware of. Those are the very scriptures, those are the very warnings Jesus gives prophetically that we're to be attuned with so we would be aware of Christ's near coming. In fact, when he said these things, he said, since no one knows the day and the hour, the context is, therefore watch. So when the fig tree gives its leaves a bud, you know that summer is near. Even when you see these things happening, he says, you know that I'm at the door. So Jesus gave many, many warnings about the end times. In fact, Peter says that we have the sure word of prophecy in 1 Peter 1 that we do well to look into as the day star rises in our hearts. And we're commanded. I mean, almost one-third of the Bible is prophecy. So if prophecy is a distraction, this is my personal conviction, and this is why I believe this is so serious, is Rick Warren is part and parcel of much of this counterfeit kingdom, I believe, that the Bible warns about. Rick Warren is, I don't believe he wants us to look at Bible prophecy personally, because I believe it exposes part of his agenda, because right now, Rick Warren, instead of warning about what the Bible talks about regarding a global government, the world peace movement, the Bible says they'll be saying peace and safety and sudden destruction will come upon them. Rick Warren is pushing his so-called global peace plan. And he's uniting, he admits that he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, which has global government aspirations. He's spoken before the UN and other one world groups and what have you. And Rick Warren says that, you know, he's trained hundreds of thousands of pastors. He wants to get over 1 billion foot soldiers. He wants to use churches. He wants to use Hindu temples. He wants to use mosques as worship centers to implement this world peace plan. And as I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, my heart breaks because there's so many pastors who, you know, felt, wow, this guy's got a great big church and he's going to teach me how to build a church. And what's happened is he's commandeered many genuine Christian soldiers that whose heart was to get the gospel out, preach the good news of Jesus Christ, and now he's using them to knock down the five Goliaths, the five giants, which he says is disease and, you know, poverty and things like that, to bring about world peace. Although you and I, Dr. Stan, know that the Bible says that there'd be wars and rumors of wars until the end. Jesus said, the poor you have with me always. As Christians more than anybody have reached out to the poor and the lost and the hurting, but we do it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we seek to alleviate suffering, but we aren't under any delusion that we ourselves are going to bring the kingdom of God to earth before Jesus comes back. And that's a huge concern because Rick Warren says that God has shown him that he's supposed to establish the kingdom of God on earth.
Well, I think we have to be a little bit concerned about that, that God has actually given a special message to Rick Warren. And isn't it interesting that Time magazine, of course, has picked Rick Warren as America's minister? When Time magazine, which is part of this world Luciferian movement, picks Rick Warren to lead the Christians, why, I think we ought to be very, very careful who we're following. And understand that Rick Warren is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He seems to go right along with much of their agenda. And ladies and gentlemen, 400,000 or 500,000 ministers have been indoctrinated. 400,000 or 500,000 ministers have been indoctrinated. Wow. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Pastor Joe Schimmel. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Pastor Joe Schimmel, and we're talking about what's going on in the world today. We're talking about the great falling away from the faith. We're talking about this effort to change the music and the message of the Christian church, and of course to get us involved in the Christian church and do good rather than in preaching the gospel. And the gospel is only secondary, and of course to say that we should not be involved at all in studying prophecy is exciting, and prophecy will bring people into a personal relationship with our Lord because they'll begin to see the validity of the scriptures, and it's all right there. So you pick the story up there, Joe.
Wow, I couldn't have said it better because Isaiah mentions that a few times, and that's my heart has the same strong conviction in Isaiah throughout this. Isaiah in chapter 41, 42, onward through like 48, the Lord says just that. He challenges the people to see if the false gods can accurately tell the future, and the Lord says, I alone declare the end from the beginning. And he says, I declare the future of the ancient nations, speaking of Israel. And just God mapping out the very future of Israel. There's incredibly astonishing fulfillment of prophecies there. Him starting with one man, Abraham, and he said that there would be hostility with their brethren to the east, you know, the cousins, the Arabs, and their hand would be against the Jews and against everyone. All that certainly happened today, that Israel would reject their Messiah. That's in Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament. That they would go throughout the nations and they'd be considered a curse and a hissing and have no place to lay their foot, which happened for 2,000 years almost, actually longer if you count the earlier dispersions, and that he would preserve them as a people. No people have been preserved for even hundreds and hundreds of years, like the Jews had been preserved. He says he'd bring them back to become a nation again. I was actually sharing the gospel in kind of some hostile territory in the streets, and a young man came up and he said, hey, you know, well, that wasn't God that brought them back, the nations helped them become a nation again in 1948. And I said, well, actually, that's what the Bible says would happen. I said, it says during her travail, which happened during the Holocaust, God would bring her to become a nation again, and that he would use the nations of the world to bring her back into her land. And certainly, just after the Holocaust, the nations had a sense of pain for the Jews, sympathy, just for a fleeting moment, and they brought him back to the land. God said they would recover their ancient language, which was lost, and he says in the Bible they'd recover it. In Spain they speak Ladino, and in Germany they spoke Yiddish, but they recovered. Now you go to Israel. I've been there twice. I'm going again in a few months, and they speak Hebrew again. It says that the
whole
world...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Pastor Joe Schimmel. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Pastor Joe Schimmel. And Sidney Joe was simply pointing out the fulfillment of prophecy that not only did the Jews return to their Holy Land, but they restored the old language. Hebrew certainly was not spoken in the most places throughout the world, for almost 2,000 years. And now, of course, Hebrew is the official language of Israel today. But before we go on, Joe, I'd like you to go ahead and get out your website and anything you'd like to get to our listeners so they would know how to get in touch with your ministry. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Joe has a tremendous ministry. We carry a number of his videos because we think that there is nothing that can parallel them. Certainly his stories of they sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour DVDs are certainly unique. I mean, after you've watched them, I promise you, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. So, Joe, how can people get in touch with your ministry, your website, etc.?
Yeah, it's very simple. They could order, if they've got an internet access, they could go to goodfight.org. We've got goodfight, it's what, one word, .org. Got a lot of great resources, like they sold their souls for rock and roll, but also hundreds and hundreds of DVDs, I'm sorry, of CDs, messages, but also other videos like on Harry Potter and Hollywood Unmasked 1 and 2 with DVD, done by Jason Kovar, a great brother of ours, part of our fellowship. I did a video recently called Hollywood's War on God. We've got Kinsey Syndrome. Chris and I are just about done with that, showing how Alfred Kinsey had totally transformed the way people look at sexuality here in America and the way it's encroached into the school systems, into government, into model penal code and what have you, and the entertainment world through his deceptions and who his affiliations with the Satanist named Aleister Crowley and what have you. Also, the secret, we're getting closer on. I wish I could give a date on that, but I get in trouble when I give dates. I've never picked dates for the Lord's return. I don't like to even pick dates for my own video releases because I tend to juggle a lot. But goodfight.org. People could also order our DVD, They Sold Their Souls, and some of the others, I believe, through your ministry as well, Dr. Stan. So that's a great opportunity for them as well.
All right. And the website is goodfight.org. That's GOODFIGHT.org. Is that right?
Yeah. Good, GOOD, yeah, fight, all one word, .org.
Goodfight.org. And believe me, Joe's material is excellent. We carry it because we think it's outstanding. But go there. He's got a lot of things I'm sure we don't have, a lot of talks, and he even may have some videos and DVDs we don't carry. But there is no better way to come to understand the spiritual nature of the battle we're engaged in than his series, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And I think that really is that's probably your bestseller, isn't it, Joe?
I would say we've seen a lot of people come to Christ through that. A lot of skeptics have come to Christ through that because we feel as Christians, what's heartbreaking is the world would they want to marginalize Christians as though Christians don't understand, you know, the world or what's going on. But what's incredible, and I used to have that view before I became a Christian, I just thought Christians were ignorant, living in the past. And when I became a believer, before I became a believer, I realized it was a spiritual world because I'd opened myself up to it through occult practices. But when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had delivered me from that realm, and I opened his word, it's just amazing. I was able to finally comprehend that from a biblical perspective, I mean, your eyes open up. The Bible talks about how the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Holy Spirit, but those who are spiritual have Christ and the mind of Christ are able to discern all things. And as Christians, we know our origins. We know that we are special creations of God, that we're created in his image, that there's a moral foundation of who we are, that man's fallen from God, that he needs to be restored through the gospel of Jesus Christ, forgiven of his sins, and restored to relationship through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and God coming to live in our hearts again. And that we also know our futures in Christ is that if we're trusting Jesus, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know that we'll stand before God. Everybody will give an account before Him. But those who are trusting in Christ have passed from death to life, will not come into condemnation. And we also have not only 20/20 vision and hindsight, so to speak, and a view of the future and a hope and a peace in our hearts because we know who Jesus is, but we have His Word now to guide us in this present world. And we also have x-ray vision, so to speak. We're able to see spiritually. We're able to understand what's going on, that we don't wrestle against His flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so forth. And then we also realize how powerful God is, that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. So I even though there's some bad news and there's ugly things going on in this world that we need to be aware of because a lot of Christians are getting duped, praise God, the good news is that in Christ, through His victory on the cross and His resurrection, we have the victory, and greater is He that's in us and He that's in the world, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But Jesus said, occupy till I come, so we need to fight the good fight, and we need to take a stand for the truth. And in the meantime, many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are being swallowed up in these mass deceptions. And it breaks my heart because I see, for instance, Dr. Stan, you're familiar with they sold their souls for rock and roll. Well, I see what's happened is the world is the church compromised with the world. That we see men like, for instance, Rick Warren, he was the chaplain assigned by Bono to be the chaplain of Live Aid, which was on an anniversary of Live Aid, but it was done to coalesce with the G8 summit. And Live Aid was a bunch of different artists that got together: Pink Floyd and Paul McCartney and Bono and several different artists, a lot of drug-addled type artists, no doubt. And he was the chaplain of that concert. And after the concert, he said, he quipped to his congregation that, hey, I can't even remember the concert. All I can remember is that sweet smell in the air in Lincoln Park, you know. And when he inaugurated his world peace plan at Anaheim Stadium before 30,000 people, tragically, when he inaugurated that, he said, this is a song that I've always wanted to do on stage. And he did Purple Haze, which is a song about LSD, done by Jimi Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix, by the way, I mean, he choked to death on his own vomit. We're talking about an association with evil, but claiming that this is a big movement of the kingdom of God. And it's heartbreaking because so many Christians think that this is from God, but they're not reading their Bibles, and they're getting sucked into the lie.
And, of course, that's really all we have is the Bible, as the anchor for our faith. And suddenly, when we start to, figure out what we can do or what we should do, and suddenly be using our own intelligence, we're going to get into real problems, because man, without God, always takes the wrong path. And that's why the Scriptures are so important. That's why God gave them to us, and that's why we need to focus our attention there. Well, certainly, as you see what's going on, and as minister, so many of them are talking about, hundreds of thousands, probably 400,000 to 500,000 ministers swept up in this. And these are some of the finest ministers in this country are being taken in because there's a false promise. There's a promise of your church is going to grow. You're going to spread God's word all the better. You're going to make a lot of money. And, of course, that most ministers are not necessarily thinking about that, but we're all susceptible, I really believe. And with that promise there, that knowing that your church is going to grow and probably you're going to get a bigger salary and you're going to be in charge, and not only that, but when you accept this structure of the promise-driven church, you are in charge and your board of elders really can't do much of anything. It's really sort of a management strategy. Is that your impression of it, Joe?
Yeah, he's definitely, he brought Drucker in, and he's brought management gurus in, and even Blanchard and other people that have had not their goal is more church growth, and they've turned the church into a management. I mean, it used to be in the old days that a pastor's office was called the study. He would be in the Word, in the Scripture, and seeking God in prayer and crying out to God to have God bring God's Word to God's people. But now today, unfortunately, many churches have become involved in a secular form of management, and it's been more about growth and what have you. In fact, what Warren did is he went to Robert Schuller's you know, Institute of Leadership a couple different times with his wife, and she said in his her interview with Christiana Today that they were excited to go to Schuller's Institute of Leadership, and that's where they sensed a great change would happen in their ministry. And basically, many ways, Rick Warren had followed Schuller's the path that he had blazed, which was not to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that Rick Warren's never preached the gospel. I believe he has at times, but it's definitely changed through the years. But he followed the paradigm that Schuller had begun, and Schuller went to several different homes and knocked on doors and asked people what they wanted him to preach on and what they thought the church should be. And so instead of going to the scripture and reading 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, the pastoral epistles as to what to be shared and the structure of the church and church government and what have you, Schuller ended up tickling people's ears and telling them what they would want to hear, just what the Bible said would happen in 2nd Timothy 4. Well, Rick Warren did the same thing. He said he spent 12 weeks knocking on doors, and he said when he came to the houses of Christians and what have you, he and if they went to church, he just passed them by after they answered a couple questions, and he'd go to the next door and say, you know, ask what people felt the church should be. And then he told them that he was going to try to make the church what people wanted it to be and what have you. And sure enough, he's been pleasing people ever since. Paul said, though, if I was a man pleaser, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. And Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you because they spoke well of the false prophets. But you're blessed when you're persecuted because they persecuted the true prophets of God. And of course, John the Baptist, he lost his head. Jeremiah was thrown in a dungeon by the false prophets. Isaiah was cut in half. And the book Hebrews tells us about people who wandered in, you know, prophets of God and men and women of God who wandered in the deserts and hid in caves, and they were considered the scum of the earth. And of course, Jesus Christ, our Lord himself, was crucified by the institutions of the religious systems of the world and the politicians and so forth. It's disconcerting because Rick Warren also stated, he said, when I came to the home of a Christian or if somebody went to a mosque, he said he would just go past those houses and say, well, continue going. Great, you know, just continue going. And I thought, wow, what happened to preaching the gospel and telling somebody who goes to a mosque that they need Jesus and that Jesus Christ, contrary to the Quran, is the Son of God who died for our sins, and he's not just some prophet, and that you need Jesus. And what's heartbreaking now is that Rick Warren's taking certain scriptures out of context to, instead of warn people to flee from the wrath to come and to get right with God before they die, and that there would be a battle called Armageddon, and that the world would come under a world governmental system headed by the Antichrist prior to Christ's return. He's telling people now that he is establishing the kingdom of God on earth with his foot soldiers, and he's trying to commandeer. He's saying that we need to unite with the liberal denominations again, and we all need to become one so we can bring forth this world peace plan. And what's really chilling about it, you have a lot of pictures in the Old Testament of what would happen in the future, not only pictures of Christ and prophecies, but 2 Peter chapter 2 in the New Testament, Peter says, even as it were false prophets among the people, there will be false teachers among you who shall privately bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and their judgment's not asleep. Well, you go to the Old Testament, and you see what these, if you read through Jeremiah, 27, 28, 23, Ezekiel chapter 13, and several other passages in Isaiah as well, you see these false prophets, they're the ones that get the hearing of the public. They're the ones that are accepted. The Jeremiahs, the Isaiahs, the Ezekiels, they're rejected because people don't want to be confronted with their sin. And what's interesting is Jeremiah prophesied that there would be a 70-year tribulation period of enslavement by the king of Babylon, and that God would bring discipline upon his people, who Israel, because they'd wandered from him and they'd been engrossed in sin, and he'd have to chasten them. And he wears a yoke. He puts this huge yoke on. He goes into the palace in chapter 28 of Jeremiah, and he says, thus saith the Lord, talks about what's going to happen. Well, Hananiah, another prophet, a false prophet, comes in and says, thus saith the Lord. He takes the yoke off of Jeremiah, throws it to the ground, smashes it, and says, this isn't going to happen. You know, some of it already started happening. Nebuchadnezzar had already raided Jerusalem a little bit of some of their treasures. But Hananiah says, well, they're probably going to be back within in about 2 years. We're not going to go through this 70-year deal. It's not going to be this, you know, this time of trouble that you talked about. We're going to have peace. And Jeremiah says to him, he says, you know, Hananiah, a prophet, is known to speak the truth only if his prophecies about peace come to pass. But all the prophets before me, before you, prophesied of these wars and desolations and these kinds of things. And a prophet shall be known if what he says comes to pass. Well, sure enough, before that chapter is over, it says Hananiah was put to death. God put him to death. He is prophesying a false peace. Isaiah said that there's no peace to the wicked. Jeremiah said they're saying peace, peace, but there's not peace. And well, that's what's happening today. The Bible prophesies certain events to take place. It says in Revelation that the world won't repent to turn to God, but there'll be a false peace movement in the name of Christ. The false prophet himself will look like a lamb, look Christ-like, but he'll speak like a dragon. He'll give glory to Satan, and he'll support the Antichrist. And what I believe, Dr. Stan, what's happening before our very eyes is we only have the secret in a bunch of these New Age lies, but we have what the Scriptures warn about lies, the strong delusion, the end times, where many people think that they're following Christian leaders are going to fall right into this trap. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 30, it says that the people said, and a lot of it's the supply and demand. A lot of people want to hear lies, unfortunately. A lot of people want to hear false prophets tickle their ears. And Isaiah says that the people were saying, speak to us smooth things, not rough things. Speak to us smooth things and prophesy to us illusions. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, Jeremiah says, the prophets prophesy a lie, and my people love to hear it. They love it to be so. And that's the very thing we read in the New Testament, that people would keep up to themselves teachers who would tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. And what's heartbreaking is many Christians need to start getting serious about what the Bible says and not start going along with what seems popular or what feels good. The truth is hard to accept sometimes because it hurts. We're convicted about our sin. We don't want to think of ourselves as being sinners who have fallen from God and need to be forgiven and get right. But that's the truth. We are so deserving of judgment. But the good news is that God is so good that if we repent and turn to Him, He wants to cleanse us. He wants to make us right with Him through cleansing us through Christ's blood and making us right with Him. But what man wants to do is pull himself up by his own bootstraps and say, hey, we can establish the kingdom of God on this planet. It's about us and what have you. And unfortunately, Rick Warren has said that fundamentalist Christians are going to be one of the big enemies of the 21st century. Okay, I'm not making that up. That's Rick Warren has said that. And I believe what they're doing is they're greasing the skids for the persecution to come, because Rick Warren says that people who are going to resist this coming kingdom of God and so forth are in trouble. And he says, you know, resistors and troublemakers need to be expelled from the churches and what have you. And what's happened is Rick Warren didn't just start his own church. Now he wants to bring millions and millions from other churches under his peace plan. And if you don't comply... Dr. Stan, you're familiar with many of the New Agers who have talked about how Christians that don't fit into the New Age plan are going to be like so many cancer cells in their body that are going to have to be disposed of. And I'm seeing much of the same rhetoric from many of these ecumenical preachers.
Certainly, we are reading Barbara Marx Hubbard when she talks about, of course, a quarter of the world will be able to advance to a higher spiritual plane, and another half will go along with it, a quarter will resist. And they will have to be eliminated. And then she says, but that's not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse death. Barbara Marx Huppert ran for the presidency, leads the New Age movement today, deeply involved in the occult. Right. And her remarks talking about elimination of a quarter of the world's population. Obviously, she's speaking about Christians like you and I. That is not your job to eliminate them. That is ours. We are the riders of the pale horse death. We have that, and we want to see it from our own writings.
Showing.
Well, Joe, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, I thought it was interesting you quoted Barbara Marx Hubbard. I mean, that book you quoted from is called Revelations, you know?
Right, Revelation, the book of co-creation. Incidentally, when it came out in the definitive of they cleaned it up a little bit before they actually put it out. We have the original manuscript, but when they put out the definitive one, it was financed by the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. The Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. Why would Lawrence Rockefeller's endowment be financing Barbara Marx Hubbard? Well, I think that's a very important question we all ought to ask. Go right ahead. You got about a minute and a half now, 2 minutes to wrap up the program.
Oh, man, I just thank you so much, Dr. Stan, for having me on with you. And it's great because in the midst of some of the heartache and the tragedy you see and so many people being swept into deception, it's great to know, praise God, that there's a remnant of believers out there who are in tune with the Lord, are seeking Him in prayer, are into His Word, who are not ashamed to share the truth and don't fear man, but fear God. So I just thank you so much. Please keep taking a stand, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you, and you've been a breath of fresh air.
Well, of course,
praise God.
The thing is that God has given us this opportunity. I mean, how many retired orthopedic surgeons do you know that have an opportunity to talk to almost 60 outlets of one form or another every week? And, of course, it's a recurrent theme. It's a recurrent message we put out. But it's always, of course, a pleasure to have Pastor Joe Schimmel with us. And once again, of course, that's is it Fight the Good Fight or just The Good Fight?
Just goodfight.org.
Goodfight.org. Wonderful material there. And, of course, how soon are you going to have your video on the Kinsey ready for?
Well, we are getting so close. Last time I talked to Chris just recently, we were basically talking about the cover art that's getting done right now, and he's putting the final edits on it.
And when are we going to have the one on the secret of Rhonda Burns and the secret?
That one's going to be a bit later, but my hope and prayer is that next time I'm on, we'll have a fresh copy for you.
All right, fine. Well, we're really looking forward to it. And I appreciate everything you do, Joe, and I know you're on the front lines of this battle. And what a privilege it is to be able to have you here with us from time to time. God bless, and we'll be talking to you later.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Joe Schimmel. And Cindy is, my estimation, one of the finest television producers in the country. I'm sure he could make a fortune, you know, in the Hollywood, but of course he would have to compromise his principles. Instead of that, he has a small church in Southern California. What a church where you can hear the gospel preached. And that's what's so important, is to get back to the scriptures, not the entertainment. That's not what we go to church for, but to be convicted, because we're all sinners saved by grace. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our program with Pastor Joe Schimmel. We do carry his various products, and certainly you can go to our website and simply look under Joe Schimmel if you we list all of his various publications. But certainly the one that I like the best is they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And as I said earlier, I promise you, if you watch that, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again, especially if you can watch the full 10 hours. And it really is so important. But we have to understand that this other dimension, this satanic dimension, is not imaginary. It's very real. And, of course, we are all being attracted in that direction because it promises us entertainment and the good life and prosperity. But there's a terrible price that you will pay, and that is in eternity in hell. It is not imaginary. I may have all sorts of degrees from colleges, but I will tell you that I believe the word of the gospel is true, and of course, this is our hope. This is our only protection we have against being drawn into these horrible, horrible programs that are out there. I'm looking forward, of course, to Joe Schimmel's DVD. In fact, I'd like to think maybe I played a little part in getting him to actually produce this. But we have put together a couple of things of our own. One is the talk on The Forbidden Secret, and that's a DVD. And then, of course, the 4-tape set, or 4-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret. That's The Secret Behind the Secret. It's the story of Rhonda Burns and her effort to bring millions of Americans into the occult. You need to understand that. We actually have DVDs that Carol Matriciana has put out about yoga in the Christian church. Yoga is simply an occult practice that's gone into the Christian church. We have a 4-tape set on the supernatural, and certainly a book that goes with that called The Beautiful Side of Evil, because our 4-tape set on the supernatural has 2 hours interviews with Johanna Michelson, and she writes the book The Beautiful Side of Evil because she was a medium. She was deeply involved in the occult and had the supernatural power. And of course, we have the book and the 4-tape set on satanic crimes. We have really literally hundreds of CDs and books and 4-tape sets on almost every subject. You need to understand what's going on today, and then you need to help us get the information out. If you'd like a free catalog, give us a call, write to us, I should say, or you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free catalog, and we can either get it in print form, or we can send you a CD that's got all of our catalogs. I think it's got our health catalog and our emergency food catalog on there as well. at Sydney. You get the CD or you get the individual catalogs. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, well, we'd be glad to send it to you. Of course, you can go up on the internet at radioliberty.com and read all of our newsletters. You can listen to our programs there on the radioliberty.com. Just click and they'll take you to Soundwave 2000. And you can listen to our programs live. You can listen to them on MP3 or archived. And then if you want to listen to the live feed 9 hours a day on our feed to the satellite, and then along with Joyce Riley and Pastor Butch Pod, Chuck Crismeyer, Pastor Chuck Crismeyer, who was a lawyer, a successful lawyer for, I don't know, 20 or 30 years, and then was called into the ministry, and he does what I'm doing today, talking to people about the spiritual battle that's going on. So you can listen to his programs, at Butch Paws and Joyce Riley's, at radioliberty.com, and then, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our programs. And, of course, it's radioliberty.com. They can listen on the internet. They can listen on shortwave. They can get an inexpensive satellite program, and a satellite, a dish, and there's no, of course, a regular fee. You just, once you have it set up, why, you can listen all you want to, not only to our programs, but to other Christian programs, and certainly to a lot of Christian television. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we've said before, we're on the front lines of this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.